Welcome to a bit of a Chai Parshas Metzora. Tonight, I really just want to say a few little things from Rabbeinu B'chaye. You know, Metzora is a hard enough parsha. It's a short parsha and it's a hard parsha. A few little things here and there that I want to quote from Rabbeinu B'chaye. Interesting insights into Tzoras in particular. The beginning of the parsha, as we know, talks about the Taharas HaMetzora, the purification of the Metzora, which involves the two birds. One of the birds is shechted. The other bird, in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Zayin, we read Veshilach Esatzipor Achayo Al Pnei Asodeh. The live bird is then shooed away and sent forth on the face of the field. Why is it important that it be sent away on the face of the field? Shilach esatzipor achayah. Shoo it away. Wherever it goes, it goes. Why focus al pnei asodah? So the Rabbeinu B'chaye says something very, very striking and something which is certainly subject to debate. Al pnei asodah, perek yidal, pasuk zayin. Al derech hapshat. You know, the simplest way to understand why is the bird sent away al pnei asodah. Lefi shad soras hu choli dovek. Soras is contagious, says Rabbeinu B'chaye. Al kein yesh l'shalcho b'makom she'ein bo yishuv, kedei shel tidbak had soras. Therefore, it's important to send away the bird. Again, this bird was exposed to soras, right? So the bird may have caught soras in a medical sense. So therefore it's important to send the bird away al pnei asodah. Al pnei asodah means to an uninhabited area. You could say, well, why not send the bird away, you know, to the middle of the Bronx or something like that, right? No, you have to dafka send it to an uninhabited area, a place where there's nobody there, because we want to, from a medical perspective, we want to contain the tzaras and make sure that it doesn't spread any further. So he quotes in Rabbi Chevelle's notes in 41, that this idea that the tzaras is something contagious which spreads, and we have to protect it from spreading, is an idea which is first articulated by the Ibn Ezra and picked up over here by the Rabbeinu B'chaye. It's a very interesting idea, and one that l'chora is somewhat controversial. Chazal's whole understanding is that tzaras is a spiritual type of affliction that is imposed upon the person because the person does something wrong. I mean, you know, the person engages in lashon hara and znus and all the other things that are associated with tzaras. The notion that it's a contagious disease would seem to run counter to that idea. Again, you know, if you said lashon hara, you get tzaras. If you didn't say lashon hara, you won't get tzaras. You have nothing to worry about. The fact that we have to treat it, you know, as a contagious disease is, you know, one could imagine perhaps runs counter to the way Chazal interpret the idea of tzaras. That idea that tzaras is a contagious disease, interestingly enough, is also articulated by the Meshech Chochma, just to go back, to something that we learned a few years back. It's articulated by the Meshech Chochma in last week's parasha in Tazria. Meshech Chochma asks, why is it that Kohanim are the ones involved in the whole avoda of diagnosing the mitzora and being matired of the mitzora and all of that? So the Meshech Chochma says al derech hapshat, the following fascinating interpretation. He says again, tzaras is a contagious disease. So if you're going to have people dealing with the mitzora, there's the real possibility that they will catch the disease from the mitzora. So therefore, since we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords a special hashgacha pratis to Kohanim, the Kohanim were chosen to deal with the Mitzora because spiritually they have a better chance of being protected and not getting the disease. Again, the Meshech Chochma was working with this idea that's articulated by the Ibn Ezra, by the Rabbeinu B'chaye, that tzaras is a disease, it's contagious. The idea of putting the Mitzora outside of the Machaneh is not simply a punishment, but it's quarantine. You know, very, very simply, the guy is sick. You know, when a guy's sick, you put him outside the machaneh, and you make sure that nobody has any contact with him. Right? So that idea, which, again, if we were reading the psukim without Chazal, we might very well come to that conclusion that Saras, you know, this is the Torah's way of dealing with infectious diseases, but that does seem to run very much against the whole way Chazal deal with these dinim of Saras. Are these things reconcilable or not?
I say, yes, since Saras is a spiritual witness to the biggest type of disease, right? And who better than the Kahuna than Han to take care of it? Because they're always involved in spirituality. They're spiritual doctors of the nation.
So if I would say that also, but that's not what the Rosh Chachma says.
I know, but he says white kahuna.
Yeah, Ich verstehe. But my point is not that specific he'ara of the Meshech Chachma. My point is that the Meshech Chachma, like the Ibn Ezra, Ibn Bechaye, are working with this idea that Saras is a contagious disease, right? Which is, again, somewhat different than the way we normally look at it.
Why would it be dealing with a contagious disease? It just doesn't make sense.
Right, so perhaps you can suggest the following. Again, does this notion of Saras being a contagious disease, you know, and seeing a lot of these prescriptions in the Torah as being, let's say, medical in nature, as opposed to being some kind of way of spiritually dealing with this disease, is that totally at odds with Chazal's understanding that Saras comes because of various averas that the person does? So I think you can certainly suggest no, that you know, you can reconcile these two ideas in the following way. You know, much the way that life works in general, when a person is spiritually strong, that spiritual fortitude protects them against physical disease. When a person is spiritually weak, you know, it's kind of like the spirituality provides a certain immune system. And when your immune system is down, you become susceptible to all kinds of physical diseases. So, do we have to worry about Saras being a contagious disease? Yes, very much so. What is a spiritual disease? Yeah. The person who's weak spiritually is more likely to get this physical disease known as Saras when your spirituality is down, your immune system is down. And, you know, it's going to allow the physicality, this physical disease, to take over. So there are elements of the spiritual and the physical working together. It's not an either or. It is possible to describe this as being a physical disease, but also one which is informed by spirituality. So we know, again, leaving Ruchnius out of this for a moment, we know that science talks today about things called psychosomatic diseases. Right? Psychologically, I'm bothered by something, so my stomach starts giving me problems, right? And it's real. It's not in my head that my stomach is giving me problems. It's real. You know, you'll go to the hospital, and they'll diagnose you that your stomach is giving you problems. Why is it giving you problems? Because I have some kind of sorrow that's going through my head. So the psychological and the physical are linked to one another. So it's not so crazy to say that the spiritual and the physical are linked to one another as well. Meaning that yes, Saras is considered to be an infectious disease, but when the person is spiritually strong, they can resist that infectious disease. When they're spiritually weak, the infectious disease is able to take over. That's, I think, you know, you can reconcile these statements of the Ibn Ezra, Ibn Bechayim, and Meshech Chachma and others, you know, with the idea that this is ultimately a spiritual disease. It's not a stira to say that it's being dealt with in the regular medical fashion of an infectious disease, which has to be subject to quarantine and other such things and the like. Yeah.
Even if it was a spiritual disease, it could still catch it. It could still be contagious if he talks to people and his, his ideas.
Right, but here again, so look at the context, right? So the context is you use a bird that comes into contact with the Mitzora, and the Pasuk is saying, according to Rabbi Bechai, get rid of the bird. Send the bird out as far as possible so the bird shouldn't contaminate anybody else because it was exposed to the Mitzora. So it's hard to interpret that in any way other than pure physical terms. The bird becomes a carrier, right? You know, he's carrying this disease from the Mitzora to other people. But in other words, when the bird lands, wherever he lands, the people who are going to be most susceptible to this infectious disease of Saras are people who have a low spiritual tolerance, you know, who don't have the fortitude of their spirituality, so their immune system, so to speak, is going to be down.
So how does he deal, how do they deal with the fact that it all depends on the kind that the kind is pronounced in? If the kind doesn't, it looks like Saras, it kind of splotch, And he couldn't decide yes or no. So in other words, if it's no, so if he's not spiritually weak, I mean, he's got a bunch over there. Is such a fine line over there? How do you deal with that?
Yes, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, it could be that they're saying, you know, there are, you know, in general terms, this is a way of dealing with a certain infectious disease. You're right. All the, you know, some of the pratim are not always going to be, not always going to work out. But you know, in general terms, you know, this is what we would do with it. Right.
So the fact is, the person has it in his body, he has to go to the company, or if he goes to the company, the company realizes it's dead finally, so this fellow is not carrying an infectious disease.
Right. The truth is, I mean, Rafael Hirsch argues against describing Saras as an infectious disease for exactly these kinds of reasons. I mean, the din we're going to get to later on in Parshas Mitzarah with Nigei Batim, right? So they go, they clear everything out of the house, and then the kohen goes in, you know, to see whether it's Tamei or not. So says Rav Hirsch, if we're dealing with an infectious disease, that would be insane. It would be insane. You want to destroy everything in the house if it was infected. So again, I guess you have to say, you're right. I mean, not every aspect of it is 100%, you know, in line with an infectious disease. There is a spiritual dimension over here. But let's not forget that there is a physical dimension over here as well, that the physical and the spiritual are working together. That's how I think you'd have to say, according to these Rishonim. Right. It's a physical disease brought about through a spiritual way. Right. Okay. Yeah. Erachinam. V'zeh tam tumas mitzorah. The Rebbe Bachai writes, Where does the tum of mitzara come from? That nei ruach hatuma sheparcha alav mikitos kochos hatuma nesalos min anochash akadmoni. Saras comes from the tumah that was generated by the nochash back in Gan Eden. Now he says this without skipping a beat from what he said a moment ago. A moment ago it sounded like he was, you know, talking from a pure medical perspective. Oh, it's an infectious disease. Now he's telling us that it comes from the tumah of the nochash akadmoni. The fact that he so easily goes between those two ideas, which we would consider to be, Bezman HaZeh, two very different explanations. One's a medical explanation. One is a kind of, you know, spiritual, you know, Kabbalistic interpretation. He doesn't have a problem putting the two of them together because, again, you know, again, I think he understands that the spiritual and the physical work together in this regard.
Once you see that in the Midbar, when they got bit by the conscious.
So the spiritual healing helped them on a physical level over there. Now, why is the Nachash the source of Tzaras? So he writes, the Nachash is the Avi Avos HaTomah. If you remember back in Parshas Shemini, the Rebbe Bechai was bothered. Why is it that a dead Nachash is not Metame? It's not considered one of the Shrotzen. Right? It's really Avi Avos HaTomah in a certain sense. Shehotzi Shem Ra Al Bora. What did the Nachash say? The Nachash said Lashon Hara. Or worse, he was Motzi Shem Ra. He said something false about the Borei Olam, about the Ribbono Shel Olam, that God doesn't want the best things for his human creatures, right? He doesn't want, you know, human beings to have it good. The mitzora is following in the footsteps, if one can say such a thing, of the nochash akadmoni, right? He's a motzi shemra, you know, the same way that the nochash akadmoni was as well. Right, so and I just wanted to bring out that idea, you know, the notion of Rabbeinu Bechaye that tzaras is an infectious disease. Again, not purely medical, mixed with a spiritual understanding, but you know, I think even that is somewhat controversial. You know, in his talking about it in these somewhat physical medical terms. In Pasuk Lamed Hey, the Chumash has already moved on to speak about the Nigei Batim. And it says a person has a negat, what he thinks is a negat saras in the house. Uva asher lo habayis. The person who's the owner of the house comes and tells the kohen kenega nirali babayis. I think I see a nega of saras in the house. The phrase uva asher lo habayis the one to whom the house is his is a somewhat curious one. Right? You know, you would say, Uba Baal HaBayis, the owner of the house should come. Uba Ish HaBayis, you know, the man of the house should come. Asher Lo HaBayis, the one to whom the house is his, sort of a roundabout way of describing the owner. So the Rabbi B'chai over here quotes a beautiful medrash from the Gemara. Ba Shalo HaBayis. Dosh Rabu Seir Perakama de Yuma. Chazal say in the first parak of Yuma, Dafir Aleph from Beis. Mishi miyuchod beis so lo. What does it mean? Asher lo habayis. The person who hoards his house for himself, right? The person who has a house, but he won't share the house. So, for instance, kolomah eno rotsa lahashel kalim. People come knocking on the door. They want salt, or they want to borrow a pot, and the guy says, "Achin ve, you want to borrow a pot? I don't lend out pots over here, right? I don't lend out stuff." You want to borrow a lawnmower? I don't have a lawn, you know, not for you. Hoshenu machnis archim lebesa. Or he's not hospitable. He doesn't bring an archim into the house. Uba asher lo habayis. The guy who thinks that the house is his and his alone. He doesn't share the house. Hanegoim boim al tsarus ayim. That's a reason for tsaras to afflict the house. Tsaras comes when a person is stingy.
Have a person that has a vacation home. Right. So when he's not using it, he doesn't want to rent it out.
Right. Right.
You'd rather let it empty.
Right. So, you know, you see you're a very basic hashkafa, but your house is not really yours. Now, again, obviously it is yours in a certain sense, right? It's, you're not, you know, it's not as if you have no attachment to it whatsoever. But the person who looks at his house and doesn't ask the question, how can I help other people with this house, is the kind of person who deserves to get saras in the house. Right? There's a selfishness with which saras attaches itself to. If we go back to what he said before, how saras ultimately stems from the Nachash HaKadmoni was extremely selfish as well. Right? He wanted to get rid of Adam HaRishon and marry Chava, Chazal tell us. Right? He was, it's pretty selfish. So that selfishness then carries on into this other example of getting saras.
So how does that fit in with the Chazal that say that the reason why they were thinking about this is because they had treasures behind the walls? Yeah, they smashed down the wall to get treasure.
I think what Chazal are bringing out in that is that every cloud has a silver lining. Meaning, you know, if God wants to give the Jewish people treasures, there are easier ways to give them treasures. But it just happens to be that you should know that every tzara that comes about in life oftentimes has a hidden treasure. That's what Chazal is trying to put forward over there.
But this guy reminds me selfish. So that's why he's got the living body. You don't want to share your house, so we're gonna give the tzara off to knock down the house. The fact of the matter is, it seems like he's being rewarded for it.
Good. So I'll tell you two things. Good. He has a treasure, but he doesn't have a house.
He has a breakthrough.
Right, he's a breakthrough. Right? Right? So, good. He has a treasure. But he doesn't have a house. Right? So, what would you rather have, the treasure or have the house? Right? That's Aleph. Beis, perhaps the way these things go together is as follows. After experiencing Nigei Batim and realizing that he's being punished for being selfish and not sharing his house, he gets a treasure with the understanding from the Ribbono Shel Olam, hopefully you'll share this treasure.
Rebuild your house
and you'll share. Right? And that's, you know, maybe where the treasure comes in. That's not just treasure stam, oh, here's some treasure. This is treasure with a purpose. Treasure to be able to share with others and to correct the mistakes, you know, that you had when you didn't share what you had in the house. Uva Medrash. Right, that's a beautiful Gemara that explains this pasuk. There's another medrash as well, a medrash in Vayikra Rabba. Uba shelo habayis zehakadosh baruch hu. Who's the one who has the bayis? The Ribbono Shel Olam. What's the bayis? The bayis is the Beis Hamikdash. Vehigid lakohen ze Yirmiyo. Yirmiyo is a kohen. Zehakadosh baruch hu comes and he tells the kohen Yirmiyo. Kinega nirali babayis. It seems to me as if there's something wrong in the house, in the Beis Hamikdash. Said Selem Shehemid Menashe Behecho. This refers to the idol that Menashe Melech Yehuda set up in the Beis Hamikdash again, this pasuk about nigei batim hints into the future about, you know, the afflictions which are going to come to the Beis HaMikdash as well, and of course the continuation of the psukim about how the house has to be destroyed and only afterwards rebuilt is of course the remez to the whole idea of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to take place as well. So again, reading between the lines, the psukim here are foretelling the history of the future. If we take a look in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, also with Nigei Batim, V'inei Nega Bekiros Habayis, you know, the affliction is in the walls of the house. Ad Kan Hizkir Atsara Negoim. There are 10 different types of tsaras which are mentioned in these parshios in Tazriya Mitzara. Shisha Begufo Shel Odo, 6 that afflict a person. Se'ei Sapachas Baheres Shchin Nesek Meritas Harosh. And Arba Chutz L'Gufa. And then there are 4 that afflict the person's possessions. Beged Semer, Beged Pishtim, right? Kli'or, and Kiros Habayis. Right? It can afflict a woolen garment, a linen garment, a leather garment, or the walls of the house. So that's 10 different types of tsaras.
Yeah. The shrin that we're talking about here, is that the exact same shrin that the Israel had?
I assume so. I assume it's the same.
Sorry?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah. The Timsa Pashos with Sidoros Beseder Hazeh, Fahayu Hanegoim Asara, Keneged Aseros Adibro. So, why are there 10 different types of tsaras? So, he says very beautifully the 10 different types of tsaras are supposed to hint at the Aseros Adibros, the 10 commandments. Bisman Shah Yisrael Mekan Atara Mitzos Ba'aret, Sayyidim Solim Mehem. When Klal Yisrael kept the Aseros Adibros, remember, starting with Rav Sadia Gaon, many Rishonim write that the Aseros Adibros are paradigms for Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, that all the Taryag Mitzvahs can be worked back into the Aseres HaDibros in some way or another. So, you know, the Aseres HaDibros become paradigms for all of Torah. If you keep the 10, you'll be spared the 10. If you don't keep the 10, you'll be afflicted with the 10. Right? That's the symbolism which Rabbeinu Bachai picks up in these parshios. And again, a good way to you know, to remember, you know, the sum total of the different types of
tsaras. Category mida keneged mida.
I'm sorry.
That's one category mida keneged mida.
Yeah. I think it's a mida keneged mida type of thing.
It's also 10 areas that comes from.
Aha. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. So then, you know, that also, you know, the ten comes in over there. The chiper al bayis v'tahir. Right, in Perek Yud-Dalud, Pasuk Nun Gimel, right, when the bayis is purified from its tumah, so once again you have a similar type of tahara process with the shtei tziporim, right, with the 2 birds, right, and the you know, and as it's described. And that process will purify the house, and then you're done. So, after Rabbi Bachai, again quoting the Rabban, we know when a mitzora who's stricken in his body has to undergo a tahara process, he has to bring a karbon. So, how come, you know, and the karbon, again, the karbon, in addition to the karbon, he also has the purification process with the shtei tziporim, with the 2 birds. Here, you have the shtei tziporim. And that's enough. The shtei tziporim, the 2 birds, is enough to purify the house. There is no requirement that the owner of the house bring any type of carbon. Why the difference? So he writes, Pirush Ramban Zal, the Ramban writes, Ki ba'avur she'ein onesh hanega anir bebeitho shel adam ka onesh hanir begufo. Obviously, the onesh, the punishment which afflicts your body, is a much worse kind of punishment than that which afflicts your house. So, since it's a lesser type of tsaras, there's no need for the owner of the house to bring some kind of carbon, a chatos and an ashram, like a regular mitzvah would bring. Ve'etzo'eres, ve'ezof. The tziporim and the rest of the activities that the Kohen does are considered to be enough, you know, for this type of chait which didn't touch the person's body, but only touched the person's possessions. I want to see just the next shtick called Nundalit Nundvav. Zos ha-Torah, l'chonegat saras v'lanosek, l'tsaras ha-boyis v'la-boyis, v'aseis v'asapachis v'la-bohoris. So he writes, Afo pisha kabolas razal hi ho'emes, v'hi ha-me'ido al-inyoneyat saras, she'betchilo malka oso beveso kadei she'yachnia levovo, v'yafashvesh b'maiso v'yachzor b'tshuvo, chazar ba'muto v'imlav malkeo b'bigdo, chazar ba'muto v'imlav malkeo b'gufo mamish. So, you know, Chazal say that when the Pasuk talks about the three different types of saras, saras that can afflict your body, saras that can afflict your begadim, your clothes, and saras that can afflict your house, so the way it happens is as follows. A person sins, God first sends him a warning sign by afflicting the walls of his house. He doesn't do tshuva, so God sends him another warning sign, getting a little bit closer, he afflicts the person's clothes. He doesn't do tshuva, so God sends the third warning sign, and he strikes the person's body himself. Right? You get closer, progressively closer, as the person ignores the warning signs. So says the Rabbeinu B'chaye, that's a very nice idea, but in the Chumash, it's the reverse. Right? I mean, if you take a look in the Chumash, the Chumash first talks about in all of Parshas Tazria, it talks about the tzaras that affects the person's body. Then at the very end of Parshas Tazria, it talks about the tzaras that affects the person's clothing. And then finally, in Parshas Mitzvah, it talks about the tzaras that affects the person's house. So it's actually in the reverse order in Chumash. So I don't understand, says Rabbeinu B'chaye. I mean, if what Chazal is saying is true, so it should be in the total opposite order, the way it's presented in the Chumash. Right? So Rabbeinu B'chaye is very quick to point out, I'm not saying that Chazal are not correct, Chol Yilol. Right? I'm not suggesting that this idea from Chazal, that it starts with the house, and then to the clothes, and then to the person, is incorrect. But what I don't understand is why the psukim should be in exactly the opposite order.
Then this is what Chazal said. Why that seems to be a big upshot to remain behind the Meshachar and the Abinazrits. You see, if you don't do tshuva, it comes to the clothing. You don't do tshuva, it comes to your body.
Right, so again, I don't think Rabbeinu B'chaye was saying it's an infectious disease, that's all it is, you know, just call a doctor. What do you need a Kohen? Just call a doctor, you know, a dermatologist, that's what you really need. Indeed. No, I don't think that any of the Gedolei Rishonim were saying that. They're just saying, but once the person sins, I think this is what Harry was saying before, you know, once the person sins, the nature of the disease that God sends is something which is infectious. Right, that's the nature of the saras, but you know it is generated by sin, you know, to begin with. So how do you explain the fact that the psukim are actually in the opposite order? So he writes, "Ain sidur oinim kain b'parshios, parshios neged saras ki tia be'adam hi akodemis, yachare parshios v'abeged ki yebo neged saras, yachare parshios nosati neged saras b'beis eres achus aschem, ve'achsa hatorah haderech hazeh." Ki is kiru tchila tzaras ha-gufos v'yachakash tzaras ha-godim v'yachakash tzaras ha-botim. Why does the Torah put it out of order? I'll tell you, he says. V'fisha ha-Torah kol d'rachel d'archei no'am v'chol m'sivoseh ha-sholom. As the Pasuk famously says, the ways of Torah are pleasantness, its paths are peace. K'dei shelo yehei ha-sidur m'sudur v'por'onus holech v'godeo u'kmo shahoye ho'inyon. While it's true, says Rabbeinu B'chaye, that in real life the afflictions of tzaras got progressively worse and closer, the Torah wants to present it in the opposite way, so that when we read the Chumash, we should have the sense that the punishment is gradually getting lessened. You know, we start off with the tzaras hitting the person full force on his body, and then we read about a kind of tzaras which is a little less intrusive, the tzaras that hits is begadim. And then finally, the tzaras, which is quote-unquote not so bad. As you said before, you know, you don't even have to bring a karbon to atone for this type of tzaras. The tzaras that hits the walls of his house, you know, and nothing else. Now, in point of fact, that's not how it happened. But the Torah wants to present it in that fashion so that when we read the Torah, we should feel, things are looking up. Things are getting better. And fascinatingly, the Rabbi Bechai says that that's included in the concept of the Rachel Darchei Noah, that the ways of Torah blessedness. Now, normally if you'd asked me before this Rabbi Bechai, I would say Rachel Darchei Noah means in reality, right? In other words, you know, the Torah imposes a certain din, you know, because Rachel Darchei Noah. Here, Rabbi Bechai is saying the Torah creates a perception which is not actually true, right? But the Torah sets up the dinim of tzaras in such a way so that the person reading the Chumash has a nice feeling inside. He feels like, things are getting better, Baruch Hashem, things are looking up. That sense, which is not actually corresponding to the reality, that sense which is purely what you're getting from the reading, is a good thing, because the Rachel Darchei Noah means that even the way Chumash presents itself is with a soft touch. Right? I mean, Moshe Lema Davidoma, you know, when Chazal say, right, that the Torah takes care in describing the animals going into the Teva as being Tahora and Einena Tahora, not Tahora and Tmeya, but the ones that are Tahora and the ones that are not Tahora, the ones that are pure, the ones that are not pure, because the Torah can't bear to say the word Tameh, the word impure, if it doesn't have
Lashon Nikiya.
Right? Yeah, Lashon Nikiya. So that also is part of this. The Torah wants to present things in a way that we have a good feeling, that we have a pleasant feeling. So even though it's not reflective of the reality, the Torah is mesader, it arranges the parashios of Tzaras in such a way so that, you know, we get to the end of the parashios of Tzaras and we say, you know what, it's getting better, it's good, it's fine, you know, things are looking up.
But I'm going to quote the Maggid, if I'm not mistaken, but I learned in the Yeshiva, we said that the Maggid says that the law of the virus, it does you a favor, you get rich.
Right, so even better. In other words, the Torah concludes.
Well, it's not meant to punish him, it's meant to reawaken really.
Now again, it's clearly meant as a punishment. All Rashi's bringing out is that there's a silver lining to the cloud. You know, there's a. He also gets something good. It's not totally bad, but I don't think, you know, the Chumash intends to say that, you know, we should all wish for Nigei Batim so that we all become rich. I don't think that's the point. Yeah.
So how does he deal with the Torah? It's not sugar coated there. It gets worse and worse and worse.
Right. So I think Rabbi Bechai would say, look, you know, the Torah is not ignoring reality. In other words, for the Torah to just say something along the lines of, whatever you do is fine, that's ultimately not really Derachah Darchei Noah, because ultimately the Torah wants to bring out the idea, if you sin, you're going to be punished. And the biggest Rachmanis that the Torah can tell us is that if you sin, you're going to be punished. Because if the Torah ignores that fact, it would just get punished out of the blue. So that's a very, very terrible thing, you know, to not understand why we're being punished. The Torah is giving us all the right information over here. It's not that the Torah is hiding information. It's just that the Torah is presenting it in an order so that we're Messiah b'dover tov. You know, so to speak, we end off on a good note, you know, even though in reality, you know, we'd be going progressively worse as the person, you know, does more and more, which deserves the saras. Okay, so to be Messiah b'dover tov, well, you know, by the Chassidim, they call this Parshas Tahara, not Parshas Mitzora. You know, they don't even want to say the words, you know, Mitzora. So, halavai, we should be zocha that any issues, I hope, you know, saras, but any issues in life that, you know, are related to Mitzora, that are related to Tumah, should be transformed into days of Tahara, especially as we begin now these beautiful days of Nisan, of Geula. We should be zochet to the full Geula Bez Hashem during this month. Amen. Wish everybody good Shabbos, and we'll be on next week Bez Hashem for Parshas Achrimos.